good to see everyone out today. If you're following along in your Bible this morning, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 13, verses 45 and 46. Now we're going to talk a little bit and illustrate our scripture with dogs. We all love our dogs, and they're interesting creatures. Someone once said, did you ever notice that when you blow in a dog's face, he gets mad at you? But when you take him in a car, he sticks his head out the window? So go figure that one. But our story today is about a man named Homer McCoy. Homer lived alone in a shack in the hills of Tennessee. His favorite thing to do was fox hunting, and the most prized possession was his 10 foxhounds. Homer's favorite hound was named Zeke. Early one evening, Homer's neighbor came over for a visit. The two men sat down on Homer's porch. Both men grabbed a small piece of firewood, took out their pocket knives, and began to whittle. As they whittled, the two men talked and watched the evening turn into darkness. Now, we'll leave it here and we'll get back to them a little bit later. Let's look at our text this morning. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything and bought it. You ever wondered why some people quit coming to church? What we see it happen wherever we've been. It happens in all churches of all flavors and types. It's wonderful when someone begins to attend regularly. We welcome them into the congregation. We look forward to seeing them each Sunday. Then after a period of time, they quit coming. And we ask the question why. And there may be a number of reasons why that takes place. And when we contact them, you know, why they quit coming, we hear, of course, you know, all kinds of excuses. However, today I believe that our text this morning tells us why they quit. Now, when you look at that verse, you might not think so, but follow along with me as we go through this. And Jesus gives the main reason why people quit on him, as they might say. The church is a treasure of great value, is the first point that we learn from the scripture. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. It does you no good to find treasure if you don't know its value. And you know, there's an interesting show out there called Storage Wars. And people go out and they bid on these storage lockers without really seeing too much inside. But, you know, they're looking for the pearls that are in there. And every once in a while, somebody looks over something and they don't think it's worth much. And someone else comes along and says, that's really valuable. You need to sell that. That's, you know, that's your pearl in this thing, and that's going to make you your money. They just didn't know it was valuable. But the church is a treasure. But it does you no good if you don't see the value of the church. You know, a lady once recently was lamenting the fact that her grandchildren had no interest in church. They were raised in Christian homes. They went to church as children and teenagers, but now they don't see the value of church in their busy lives when they become adults. And we ask the question, why? When someone grows up in the church, they often see the bad things that can happen in a church. They see fights between members. They see power plays among church leaders. They see cliques and other types of exclusion. They see church folks living in sin. And they see hypocrites. And I think that's what I hear the most. All you church people, y'all just a bunch of hypocrites over there. You probably heard it too. Some even witness major traumas like church splits. When people see these kind of things happen in a church, many decide that if that's what church is all about, and they don't want any part of it. Now, Jesus taught the parable of the wheat and the tares. The enemy sows weeds into the wheat. And it's these counterfeit Christians who have no conscience when it comes to causing trouble. In fact, they seem to enjoy the tension and turmoil that they cause because they aren't connected in any real way to Christ. They just love stirring the pot, as they say. To them, church is just an organization to belong to socially climb, to become a leader of. Just like the Rotary Club or the Kiwanis or something. But let's go back to our two old men sitting whittling by the fire. In the light of the moon, Homer and his neighbor saw a coyote sneaking up to his chicken pen. Zeke had been lying on the porch next to Homer's chair. When the old hound saw the coyote, he jumped to his feet and barked. The big coyote turned and ran off in the direction of the woods. Zeke dashed off the porch to chase the coyote, barking loudly. Soon, all the other foxhounds joined in the hunt, and they followed in the chase. Soon, the hills were echoing with the sound of all these foxhounds out there just howling. So we'll leave our story again right here for a second. The church is a treasure that requires great sacrifice. When he found, verse 46 in our text, when he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. What value does Jesus place upon the church today? What value is it? Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, love your wife just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Jesus was willing to suffer and die on the cross for the church. He loves the church, and he loves the people that make up the church, because the church is not a building. The church is all the folks that are assembled here today and in other churches all around this world. Notice that the man who found the pearl sacrificed everything he had to attain that treasure. The man already sacrificed just in his search for the pearl. And pearl hunting involved great danger. You don't just walk along the beach and find them. Oysters generally thrive at about 40 feet of water. Back in Jesus' day, a pearl diver would tie a large rock to his body and jump over the side of a little boat, allowing the weight of the rock to drop him down to the oyster beds below. He risked danger from other sea creatures and to scour the mud for the oysters. And an average of only 1 in 1,000 oysters contains a pearl. That's not good odds if you're looking for them and you're underwater and holding your breath and hope you don't drown and hope you can get that rock off of you when you need to. But if you found the pearl, you found the pearl and you had it made. Pearls were perceived in the first century almost like diamonds are today. They were the most valuable gem in the world at that time. If you owned the pearl, you had a fortune. The Egyptians actually worshipped the pearl, and the Romans copied that practice of worshiping the pearl. So when Jesus compares his church to a pearl, this is the point he was making. The church of Christ is the most valuable commodity on the earth. But again, you have to believe that the treasure is worth the sacrifice, or it does you no good. If Jesus hadn't believed we were worth it, he wouldn't have went through what he went through. And he went through a lot of grief, he went through a lot of pain, and he suffered, and he lived as a man on this earth. As a common man, a poor man, one who worked with his hands and had nothing of leisure in this world, but was the poor of the poorest. And he did all that for us. And he looked upon us as that pearl. He looked upon you and me as the most valuable thing in his whole universe. That's how much Jesus loved us. So it does you no good if you don't believe it. The church may not look like much, but if you know its value, it's worth any price to pay. In order to see the church of a treasure, you have to be able to see the way Jesus does. He sees the church as his precious bride. He loves her so much that he died for her to make her pure and spotless and to prepare her for the day of the wedding feast. We have to see the church not just like any other organization, like the Kiwanis or the Rotary Club. It's not a social club. It's not a place to go to get to know the movers and the shakers in town, as some people might do someplace. You have to see the value in it. The merchant who found the pearl took a huge risk by selling everything he had in order to obtain that treasure. We have to realize the value of a relationship with Christ. Because of what he did for us, the sacrifice he made for you and me, that he paid that price. He paid the price by paying it all for you and me. But back to our old men. Homer and his neighbor sat and enjoyed the sounds of the hounds doing the thing they were bred to do, running up and down the hills and just chasing that old coyote. The chase went on into the night. After a little while, the dogs started following in. Tired, dropped out by the chase, their tongues hanging down, and they're just, you know, they've had enough. A few chased the coyote until the night was nearly spent, but by the morning, the only dog that was still out there howling and chasing that coyote was old Zeke. He could still be heard chasing up them hills and stuff like that. And that's the most important point in our sermon this morning, is that the church needs people who have a vision of things. Again, our scripture says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, 2 Timothy 1:12, the Apostle Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to keep that which I have entrusted to him until that day. That was Paul's confession. And two verses later, in verse 14, Paul tells the young preacher Timothy, guard the treasure which has been entrusted to you. Guard the church and the pearls that are in it to keep them straight on the, you know, on the path, to keep them lined up, because that is the most perfect treasure of Jesus Christ, you and me, here today. And if we can realize that, then we're going to realize the value and the treasure that we have in Jesus, how valuable he is to us in our lives, and we'll live each day guarding that treasure. Now, in both those verses, Paul uses a very special Greek word, parakeet. It means a treasure or a deposit left with someone you trust completely. There were no banks back in Paul's day, so what you did with your wealth when you're on a journey is you were to die. Who could be the executor of your estate? How could you be sure that your family will receive what you have? The person you ask to take care of your possession must be someone you know very well. It must be someone who you trust completely. And that's what Paul is saying about Jesus in this verse. He said, I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to keep that which I have entrusted to him until that day. And that entrustment is that eternal life that Jesus gives his followers, those who obey him. Those who step into that watery grave of baptism to rise again as that new creature. Confessing their sins, repenting of their sins, acknowledging Christ and that he is the Savior, and walking that life after that. But walking that life is sometimes the hard part to do. Paul's not saying here, I know him as a historic figure. People look at Jesus, well, who's your favorite philosopher? Jesus. Well, Jesus is more than just a philosopher. He said some good things, but if you ask me, if you talk about philosophy is supposed to be the search for the truth. Well, there's hundreds of philosophers, and they all have a different truth. But I'm going to trust Jesus, and he's more than just a philosopher. He's a Savior, King, and Lord of those who follow him today. And he is able to keep that which we entrust with him, eternal life until that day. And only we can give it up. No one else can rip it out of our hands, but we can give it away. Paul didn't say, I know about him as a name that appears in books. Paul said, I know him as my Savior, as my friend. I know him as one who walks beside me and guides me. I know Jesus. Do you know Jesus today? Do you realize what he's done for us? Do you realize what a treasure we have that we can take a hold of? And we don't have to pay for it. Jesus paid for us. But we don't have to pay the price that Jesus paid for us in order to have that great treasure. When we keep his commandments, we show our love for him. He becomes the Lord and the master of our lives. We receive the gift of his Holy Spirit, a down payment to live with us and give us, you know, strength until that day. Do we know Jesus today? Now back to our story. Homer's neighbor was impressed by the old hound dog's unwillingness to quit. He asked, how come old Zeke is still after that coyote? All the other hounds quit and come home. Homer stood up, stretched and yawned, and explained to his neighbor why Zeke hadn't given up the chase. It simply said, Zeke saw the coyote. You know, quitters never win, and winners never quit. And unless you can see the prize ahead of you, you might get discouraged and quit, like all those dogs were who were just following another dog that took off the porch. You ever seen one dog hear something, starts barking, all of them follow along? They don't know what they're barking at. First dog probably doesn't know much about what he's barking at, but, you know, they just all follow in suit, you know, the pack. But that's the reason why many people quit the church. They haven't seen Jesus. And I hope this morning that you can see Jesus as the treasure that he is, as the person who can save our lives, as the person who can get us through all this life that we have. If you see Jesus, you won't quit on his church. You'll stick with it no matter how rough the trail gets. In previous sermons, I talked about how all the problems in our lives, all the trouble, all the turmoil, all the loss, all the pain and the grief that we share in life, that when we get to heaven, even the pleasures that we had in this life all pale in comparison to heaven. It'll all seem small and insignificant when we get there. When you can have that vision and see that and know that great and glorious day, when we're welcomed into heaven to sit at the wedding feast of the Lamb, And to know that we made it through this life, we've overcome the struggles, the temptations, and the trials, and that we've shown God that our faith is in Him, then we'll stand triumphant on that day. And if we see Jesus, we won't give up. Quitters never win, and winners never quit. In Matthew 5:8, Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Be pure in your heart. Trust in Him. Follow Him and obey His commands, and you will truly see Jesus someday. I don't know what your need is this morning. Maybe you need to take those first steps of confession, repentance, acknowledgement of Jesus as our Savior, and baptism as a sign of a good conscience to walk in you as a new creature. Maybe you've backslidden and fallen away and need to come back to Jesus. Whatever your needs may be, we can help. Won't you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?